He promised us that he would be our counselor, a mighty God and a Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be a Father, and he'd love us with a love that would not cease. Well, I tried him and I found his promises are true. He's everything he
tremendous message we heard this evening, and I do kind of believe that that's a message for the hour. And I know we might be in the second hour here, but I'm not going to go long tonight by God's grace. And all God's people said,
amen.
Good. It is cooling off a little bit in here. That's a blessing, isn't
yeah.
it? It's just a little bit. And so, but I do want to give you something from God's word tonight. And I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and really I just have just a thought. It won't be as long of a thought as what your pastor brought tonight. That was a longer thought. But I probably don't have as much material as he had. I just really just have a thought on my heart tonight that I hope will be a help to you. And the idea that we need God, really, in this time of losing our normal, a lot of things have gone by the wayside. And I would say that some of those have been a great blessing. And I believe there's a lot of blessings. My wife and I, we call them COVID blessings. Amen? And some people might think they're covert blessings. I don't know. But there's been a lot that has fallen off of our lives that really, in reality, they had no business being there to begin with. And God has shaken us. I was reading in Isaiah a few months back about the shaking of the olive tree. And all the unnecessary things fell off. And what remained is what God wanted to work with.
Right.
And there's a great truth in that. And I say that to say this, of all the things that have fallen off the tree, one thing has become very clear to me, how much I need God.
Amen.
And thank God for the opportunity to serve Him in this day. And don't look back on, well, the good old days, and boy, I wish we'd get back to normal. And we listen, God has us here right now for this time, and God wants to do a great work. And I still believe that God can send revival. I have friends who do not believe that. They're still my friends, but I disagree with them. Because of this truth, God does not change. His word does not change. His power does not change. And I was talking with someone a while back, and they said, well, you know, the Bible says there's be a great falling away at the end. I said, I know, and I believe that. But you have to have a great coming too before you have a great falling away. And it's been a long time since we've had a great coming to God, at least over here in our part of the world. And I'm praying that we will have maybe one more cycle before that trumpet sounds and we get out of here. I'm praying that maybe we'll have one more cycle of revival and the falling away that has to come. And then that trumpet will sound. And I believe the trumpet can sound tonight.
Right.
Amen. I believe that. I believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus. But I believe we ought to pray and work like He's not coming for a while. Amen. Just work, stay at it. But always look toward the sky, because our redemption draweth nigh. Amen? All right, Exodus chapter 20. That really has nothing to do with the message, but I did want to comment on the message we just heard, because that was some tremendous truth. Often we look for the victory instead of looking for God, and we certainly need to look to the Lord in these days. Exodus 20, if you're able, stand with me, and we will read a few verses here. Exodus chapter 20, during our months at home, our pastor was preaching through the Ten Commandments and tremendous truths from these verses, and I want to touch on one aspect of them tonight. Exodus 20, verse 1, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Heavenly Father, help us now in these moments. Lord, you know my mind is just overwhelmed with all the events that have happened already today. God, I need you to just calm me before you right now. And all of us, Lord, in these next few minutes, we need to just settle in before you and allow your Spirit to speak to our hearts. And Father, continue the work that you've already done in us and help us to see some truth from your word in these verses and others tonight. And we'll be careful to give you the praise and glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. You know, there's a lot in the news these days about statues, memorials, images. Let me just state right off the bat, I believe any nation that erases its history is doomed. And we need to remember our history. But I think there's a danger in going about to try to venerate men that can take us into the realm of what we just read here. The children of Israel, when they were coming into the land of promise, the Lord instructs them not to make any graven image. And he does say any graven image. He does say, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And the reason being is because he did not want them bowing down themselves to them. He did not want to be replaced by another god. And I believe that even though we would say we don't have idols that we worship, that we don't have graven images in our homes that we bow down before, I believe the danger is a lot more real than what we would suspect it to be. Our nation is filled with idols. Filled with idols. And they may be living people. They may be even our past. They may be even our history. And listen, the reason why our nation is in the shape that it's in is not because it's strayed from its history. It's because it's strayed from God. And here God instructs them. He said, I don't want you making any graven image, any likeness of anything, because I don't want you bowing down to them and serving them. We need to remember that, first of all, as the people of God, we are citizens of heaven. Now, I am a red-blooded patriot. I make my home in Canada now, but make no mistake, I am not a Canadian. Amen. I am an American. And I have good friends that are Canadians. My wife grew up in Canada. She's a good friend of mine. And I tell my Canadian friends, we're members of a Canadian church, I tell them, you should be proud to be a Canadian. I am proud to be an American. But I don't worship my nation. I'm thankful for my nation, but I don't worship my nation. My nation didn't give its life so I could have eternal life. That's what my God did.
Amen.
Now, what I want us to look at here, these graven images, these are the works of men's hands. And if you look down at verse number 24, well, look at 23. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. There's something very interesting. Throughout the Old Testament, you'll see throughout the history of Israel, they will make altars of stone. God says, make an altar of earth. But if you do make me an altar of stone, this is the directions on making an altar of stone. I don't want you hewing the stone. I don't want you shaping the stone. I don't want you making the altar according to your pattern or your thoughts. If you're going to make me an altar of stone, make it with unhewn stone. The reason being, and he makes it very clear, is because as soon as man touches it, man pollutes it. Now you connect that with what we read earlier in the chapter about making these graven images. It seems like there is a connection with man to whatever he does, he is inclined to worship. Whatever man puts his hand to, whatever he makes, there's a danger that he begins to worship that, and in so doing, he directs glory away from God to himself. And God says, if you want to build something for me, make sure that you don't hew the stone, that you leave them the way I have shaped them. Now, God does shape the stones. Do you know that? He shapes them in nature. I think about David and Goliath. I think about how when David went to take the food to his brothers, and he heard the call of Goliath defying the armies of Israel, defying the God of Israel, David stood up and he said, "Is there not a cause?" Amen? And what a text. There is a great cause. There's something worth fighting for. Your family is worth fighting for. Your church is worth fighting for. Your walk with God is worth fighting for. The purity of your heart is worth fighting for. So David stands up, "Is there not a cause?" And so he, as a young lad, he steps forward. As Pastor was mentioning earlier, there was a great revival really that came about as a result of this, and it started with a young person. He steps forward and he says, "I'll fight the giant." And when he goes to fight the giant, Saul says, "I want you to take my armor." What's that? That's man's work. "I want you to even take my sword." Man's work. "You take my weapons and you go fight the giant. Here's what you need to destroy the giant, defeat the giant." But David had not proved them. So he put them aside and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Out of the brook. Why did he take them out of the brook? Well, the brook, that's where the stones were shaped. That's where they were molded. And they weren't molded by man. And they weren't touched by man. They were touched by God. They were shaped by God for that purpose, for that battle. And God led David down there and he chose the stones that were needed to win the battle. And they had the touch of God upon them, not the touch of man. Can I say, what we offer to God by way of our altar, whatever we put on the altar, which, by the way, you should be on the altar. It should not be fashioned by man. It's not, we're not offering to God the work that we have done and say, here it is, Lord, be impressed with it. No, we need the touch of God upon us. What we offer to God must be prepared by God. And what this world needs, we're facing giants in these days. We are facing giants. And they don't need, God doesn't need some man-made work, some man-shaped offering or altar. What they need is someone who has God's hand upon it.
Yes, sir.
When we touch things, we pollute them. Now they're making an altar. That's a good thing. Wouldn't you say? What they're doing, their motivation is correct. Their desire is correct. But the methods do matter. You hear people say, well, it's just the message matters, the methods don't. Methods do matter. And God said, you want to build me an altar? That's great. Make an earth altar. But if you got to make a stone altar, just make sure you're not polluting what you're offering to me with your own works, with your own deeds, with your own ideas, with your own methods. Make sure if it's going in God's service, it only has His touch upon it.
Yeah.
Now, God uses the water to shape the stones. There's a lot we could say about that. But I just want to say this. This book is compared to water. When was the last time this book shaped you? You know, when something is shaped, when something is fashioned, it's changed. And we may not understand, and you won't see in a moment of time, you will not see a rock being changed by the water. But with the constant flow of the water, with the constant motion of the water, eventually that water will shape that rock to be whatever God wants it to be, according to His design. Are you allowing the Word of God to shape you? Are you allowing the Word of God to shape your work? I hope you're concerned with working for the Lord. I hope you're busy working for the Lord. But we don't just offer to God whatever we want and expect Him to accept it. We have to offer it according to the Word of God.
Right.
And in these days, I don't know what God wants to do specifically in these days. I have no idea. But I do know He wants to work in your heart. He wants to shape you in some way in these days through His Word.
Yeah.
And when He's done shaping it, then it's worth the work. Then it's worth being used. Then it's worthy for God to accept.
Yeah.
But when we say, well, this is my idea, this is my plan, most of us, we don't come to God saying, shape me and mold me. We come to God with a preconceived idea. This is what I want you to do, Lord. Now put your stamp on it. And in these days, I'm praying for my heart, for my life, for my family, that we would just get our hands off and get His hands on. We are fixers, aren't we? We're fixers. We want to fix things. We want to shape things. And it's very hard for us to trust. Trust the process that God has in shaping us and molding us and making us usable. many things, many ways that God works we would not choose. But He's desirous to work in our lives. And we're tempted when we, as I said at the beginning, when we get our hands on something, we're tempted to think we're really something. That we've really done something. That God should really be impressed with what we've done. The fact of the matter is, there's nothing we do to impress God. If our goal is to impress God, we failed already.
Yes,
if our goal is to be used of God, now we're on to something.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, this is a simple thought tonight, not even what I had planned to bring. But God, I pray that the truth has hit home in our hearts. And as we've heard already, Lord, we need You, and whatever that takes, I pray that we'd be willing, even if it takes fasting, even if it takes being uncomfortable, takes sacrifice. Very little of any worth has ever been gained without sacrifice. But Lord, in that, may we realize that our works are nothing without Your touch. That our works are really less than nothing. They are not acceptable without Your touch. Lord, whether there's someone here tonight unsaved and they feel like their works are going to impress You to give them salvation, or whether it's a saved person here tonight, we've got in our minds that somehow what we can do is sufficient to get the job done. Lord, I pray that all of us would realize how desperately we need You. God, however You lead us in these days, I pray that we would be willing, that we would be ready, that we would be understanding of the fact that if we're just going on our own strength, our own wisdom, our own power, all we're doing is polluting it. But God, if You will touch us in these days, if You will speak to us, if You will draw us, if You will purge us, if You will revive us, and Lord, that'll be a work that will last forever. That'll be a work that may bring souls to Christ and may revive the saints, because that'll be a divine work and not our work. Lord, just please have Your way in our hearts, in our lives, in these days. Put Your touch upon us. And Your hand upon us. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
We just stand for a moment.